But then I guess I'm just going to be embarrassed for having brought it up or admitted it mainly, you know. It's pretty easy to go, well, let me tell you a story about Ed, you know, and let that, you know, embarrassment be on him. But anyway, you know, I have driven down like a two-lane highway, not just, you know, a narrow road, but, you know, not severely wide or anything. And have come up on a sign that says, the road is closed now. And you got to stop. Kind of think about that. And turn around. Me, anyway, I'm a little bit steamed. Wondering how far I'm going to have to drive back before I find, you know, a way to get around this road closure. And drive back, you know, 2 or 3 miles, maybe even a little further, maybe a little less. And then from the back I see these just plywood barriers, plywood signs. And I get to the front and they're orange with black letters. Road closed ahead. Turn here. And I wonder how they got those signs up so quickly. From the time that I passed this point to the time I got down here where it said the road was closed. And it's kind of like hidden right there in plain sight, right? And so, you know, if you look at the picture up here, not quite as bright as it is on my screen, but I think probably you can probably see that there's something there, right? And I don't know how well you can see it. To me, it just stands out now that I've seen it. You know, once you've seen it, once you've seen the orange sign, you know, yeah, okay, you get it. But there's a house right here. See, there's roof line. It's got glass windows. So it's an earth contact home. And so, you know, the ground's growing over it, but it's right there in plain sight. It might be, you know, that way a little bit, just can be kind of stealthy, you know, to kind of live in stealth, but it's probably more, you know, just trying to have a, you know, an economical home that doesn't use a lot of, you know, gas or electricity or something like that, you know, trying to use it to help insulate and regulate the house stuff. But anyway, there's things that's just kind of out there in plain sight that we don't always recognize, we don't always see. And so that's what we are looking at this morning when you notice in the bulletin there, you know, the secret to having all that God would have us to have or all that we would desire to have. And even that's going to have to be qualified as we look through this particular lesson. But nonetheless, the secret having all that God would have you to have. And I say that secret because it's kind of like if I was to ask you without this introduction, if we just didn't have this introduction, you didn't know, you know, the title of this lesson, you didn't know where I was going, if somebody on the street was just asking you and saying, you know, do you have everything that you suppose God would want you to have? Do you have all? Do you have everything that your heart desires? And in a spiritual nature. And how many of us would go, no, not really. Not as of yet. And it's kind of like, well, then why don't you? I know, I should ask, well, why don't we? Well, I've already embarrassed myself, so now I can throw it out there on you. But anyway, what is it that we don't have? Because it's not like it's actually a secret that's hidden that you really have to look for. You have to, you know, maybe spend years trying to discover. I mean, almost everyone, even people who are not, you know, believers or not strong believers or whatever, have some familiarity with the Sermon on the Mount. And even if they didn't know that this was in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, most people have heard that idea of asking, seeking, and knocking, right? Ask, seek, and knock. And so we find that if Jesus here says that if you ask, it'll be given to you. And if you seek, you shall find. And if you knock, it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asks, receives. And he that seeks, find. And him that knocks, it shall be open. So, why don't we have it, right? So, why sometimes are we discontent? Why sometimes do we feel that maybe there's something lacking yet, you know, in our life? If only, you know, God would allow us and God would give us, or, you know, whatever. When right here's the secret. It's been there all of our lives, hasn't it? And I would say that probably most of us have been hearing it, you know, most of our life, most of the time that we can comprehend. So, is there something more to this? Is there something that we need to discover from this? Well, I would say that must be the case, because we all know what it says. And we are believers. Maybe a lot of times we kind of disqualify promises that God has made. We go, well, but, you know, and in one sense, maybe we're even kind of thinking, but that's for everybody but me. You know, I'm just not worthy. I've been, you know, whatever. And so I don't know what, you know, doubts or what thoughts, what insecurities, you know, go through your mind only when people tell me, but I know what goes through mine. and so often, just kind of like that road incident, I just figure everybody's done that. You know, probably everybody that came down that road passed that sign up. I'm just pretty sure of it. You know, since I did it, everyone else must have, type of thing. So anyway, so whether you have or whether you haven't or whatever it is, we know that Jesus teaches things and He says things for us to think on, to ask questions about, to cross-reference, you know, to gather more information, to you know, ask questions, like we said, to ask questions of, well, what do you mean by that, Jesus? And really, everything? I mean, if I just ask, I'll be given it? You know, you say that, but is there some catch to that? You know, is there some condition? Is there something I need to know, you know, about this? And so, well, yes, there's something that we need to know about this. Otherwise, the lesson would just be done. And I just say, gird up your faith, man. Get out there and do it. Ask it. You know, you're going to get it. You know, the Lord said so, right? And amen, and close the doors and, you know, go out to eat or something like that. But there's more to it than that. Or I would have chosen something else to talk on. So anyway, let's consider this idea, the secret to asking. Now, I would say that we need to ask intelligently. And I'm not the creator of that idea. Where I got that idea didn't even have anything to do with Bible study or Bible lessons or anything else. But it was a point that was made one time in a talk that I heard, and I thought, yeah, you know, that makes sense just in life, because that's the way they were using it, was in life. But that would make sense as well, you know, spiritually. I think so. There must be something. Have you ever, you know, had an idea and you thought of something, and lo and behold, sure enough, you know, you got to thinking on that, and there was some scripture or some thought, some saying, something that the Lord revealed or that He said, like in this Sermon on the Mount or something like that, that came to mind, and you go, yeah, that is it. So we find that we should make intelligent requests. Notice Matthew 20, verse 20, beginning. Then came to him, that him, of course, Jesus, the mother of the sons of Zebedee. You're probably familiar with them, you know, James and John, with her sons, worshiping him and asking a certain thing of him. I mean, it looks to me like she's doing pretty well here. I mean, she's giving due reverence to the Lord. She worships him. She's coming and she's asking of him. And we notice here that he said unto her, okay. Maybe she heard that sermon on the mount. You know, maybe she was there on the mountain when Jesus taught that sermon. And so she's come asking him. And so he says, so what would you? What wouldest thou? She said unto him, command that these my two sons may sit one on thy right hand and one on thy left hand in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered, oh, see, that's what we're all expecting, isn't it? But, ask and you shall receive. But, you know, okay, well, let's see if we can examine this. Let's see if we can discover how this works. And Jesus does give here, you know, he does say, but, or Matthew does, because he's going to tell us that Jesus here is going to give some condition or some exception or something like that, isn't he? And he is. He says, and Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. You know not what you ask. So indeed, she is exercising that option that Jesus offered there in that sermon to ask in order to be received. And that's good that she did, and that's good that we do. But when we consider instances like this, we can go, well, now, wait, what am I asking for? You know, what am I really expecting? We need to think about that a little bit, and we need to have, you know, a request that we have some thought on, we have some idea about. You know, James in James chapter 4 and verse 3, he says there, he says, you ask and you do not receive. And he said, you know, because my translation says, you ask amiss. Or you ask off target. You know, he said there, then, that you might spend it in your pleasures. And so, see, there's a couple of instances where asking did not necessarily get what the person asked for because they didn't really understand that what they're asking for wasn't something that the Lord was either going to provide or be able to provide. Now, one, he's not going to provide it, he says there in James' case, because that could just lead you right off over here and unfaithfulness. That could take you out here, you know, where you don't care about anything for God because you're just trying to satisfy yourself, just please yourself out here in your own pleasures. And another one is, well, that's not really mine to give. And so that's something we're going to learn well also in this. So we're just talking about asking intelligently. So what are some things of asking intelligently? What would some intelligent requests include? Well, one, they might include the proper demeanor. I mean, if we just think about ourselves, you know, it's been a while since my children were young, but grandchildren kind of remind me a little bit about, you know, what it was like when my children were young. And one of the things that the parent always, you know, gets a little frustrated with is, don't come to me whining. Right? Don't whine. I don't hear whining. No. You know, so would maybe it be any different with God? Well, has God told us that it would be any different with Him? Well, actually, He's told us it's pretty much the same. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10, He says, neither murmur you as some of them murmured and perished by the destroyer. And then He says, now this happened to them by way of example for you, you know, for you to learn, for you to understand. So apparently, you know, God doesn't want us griping, murmuring, whining, complaining, or even demanding. We need to think about that. How would we want to be approached? And so we go whining to God, you know, like Janis Joplin and her song, you know. She wants a Porsche, but she has to make amends because all of her friends have, you know, Mercedes-Benzes. But, you know, so but she wants some, you know, but whining about it. I don't know. Maybe that's probably asking amiss as well, you know, just out here for your own pleasures. But just that song's whiny enough to me. It's kind of like, you know. And you probably, most of you are like, huh? What's that song? She's been gone a long time. It's an old song. None of you are old enough to remember it. Okay. So, anyway, you know, proper demeanor. Yeah, let's think about that. God got pretty frustrated with the Israelites out there when they just came murmuring and complaining and whining. Oh, we liked it better back there. We had this back there. You know, that I mean, even me doing that just kind of grates on you, doesn't it? I think I'll do that some more because I like grating on you. So, proper demeanor, that could help a lot. Anything else? Well, okay, we talked about that, not whining. So, the second thing, asking intelligently, that should tell us if we look into the Word of God and we do some examination here and we find out some things regarding, you know, this statement of Jesus, and we might notice, well, ask specifically, you know, I don't know. Once again, it's kind of like, I guess we must be made a whole lot in the likeness and the image of our Creator because a lot of times we're kind of like, would you just spit it out? What do you want? You know? What are you asking for? Just tell me, you know? And maybe God, you know, is a little bit like that as well. Over in Matthew chapter 7, again, here, in this statement where Jesus teaches this, verse 9 and 10, he says, or what man is there of you if his son ask him for a, what? I don't know, maybe, you know, but I just kind of want. And of course, there's the whimpering and whining again. But let's get rid of that, even without that. He says, no, he says he asked for a loaf. He knows what he's wanting, right? And the person that's making the request from knows what he's requesting, what he's asking for. And so he says he asked for a loaf. Or if, verse 10, if he shall ask for a fish. If he asks for a fish. And so, you know, here is that very specific thing. And it's good not only for the person that's being asked, I mean, because we know that God knows even before we ask, but it's also good for us to know, well, what am I asking for? What do I want? Is that something that's part of the promises of God? We've talked about that some time back when we were studying prayer. And you know, we learned there that, yeah, God wants us to ask for a lot of things that He has to specifically mention. But boy, when you're going to God about things that He has actually promised, that means a whole lot, doesn't it? We can have a whole lot more confidence in that. And we know for certain, you know, that would be something that God would want us to have because He's promised that. And so what we're asking for, we need to ask ourselves. Now, wait a minute, is that really going to help me serve God, please God, be a better Christian, be a better child of God, son, daughter of His? Is that something that He has promised, that He has said, you know, you ask this and you shall receive? So, you know, what is that we are wanting? Now, it's not to limit so much the answer, even though it can help us to understand sometimes why we might not be getting what we're asking for, but it's to help us to understand as well, like I said, so that we might know it. So we need to define precisely what it is that we want, what it is that we need. Maybe we ought to think about, well, why do we need that? If I'm going to come to you and ask you for something, you know, that maybe is a bit of a stretch for you, that's not necessarily easy for you to do for whatever reason, you might go, well, you know, Joe, I would kind of like to, but, you know, I've got this other thing. So why do you need it? Why do you want that? And if it's compelling to you and convincing you, you might go, oh, yeah, okay, I'll do that, sure. Why didn't you just say, you know, you needed it for, right? You ever heard that before? And so asking intelligently is defining precisely not only what, but why. Sometimes it might even help when you need it. Because it may not be something you need right now, but it could be something, you know, a little later. Now, as well, it also might help if we could show what we're going to be able to do with that. If I got this, then see, I could accomplish that, right? So, we do know that God, you know, talks about specificity, that he talks about things that we need and that we're looking for specifically. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 8, where Paul, you know, is praying about that thorn in his flesh. Well, in the 8th verse there, Paul says, now concerning this thing, I besought the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. So Paul was pretty specific. I've got this thorn, I've got this problem, I have this thing that's ailing me or aching me or, you know, standing in my way in some way. That's not pleasant. It's like a thorn in my side. And he said, and what I would like is I'd like for it to be gone. Okay? And so I'd like for it to be gone. Now, you being the Bible students you are, I know what you're probably thinking right now is, yeah, but he didn't get it, did he? Just hang on, be patient. But I'm glad that you were thinking that. Okay, so the third thing is ask someone who can help. Can this person help me, you know, with this? Over in Matthew chapter 17, we have there that occasion, you know, when Jesus had been up on the mountain with 3 of his disciples and he comes down. Well, we read here that in the 14th verse of the 17th chapter, he says, and when they were come to the multitude, Jesus and those 3 disciples coming down from the mountain saw this multitude of people gathered there. There came to him a man kneeling to him saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers grievously. For oft times he falls into the fire and oft times into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Now, they've been given powers earlier where they did do a lot of miraculous works, miraculous deeds, didn't they? And in fact, we find that even they are surprised when you go on and read the event, where we don't have time to read the entire event, but even they are surprised that this demon doesn't obey their command. But he says, I came and asked them, and what? They could not. They could not. So you're going to have, you know, somebody that's capable of taking care of this problem, aren't you? You're going to have someone who can, you know, help with this need. All right? So, like Matthew 7 and 15, where he says, beware false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. You want truth? You want to understand what God's will is, what God's revelation is? Well, you better not go to a wolf that's got a sheepskin laying over its head, you know, but it's obvious. Grandmother, you know, what big, you know, it's becoming obvious. This isn't grandma, right? You know, it's a wolf. And this isn't one of my sheep, it's a wolf. So how are we going to discover that? How are we going to, you know, see that? we're going to have to put something into this, we're finding out, aren't we? Jesus saying, ask. But he's also saying, seek and knock. And I realize that we're just talking about asking because he kind of sums that up and asking. Notice the 11th verse of the 7th chapter of Matthew. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask? And so he kind of sums up all three of those in asking, doesn't he? Even though each one builds upon the other and each one becomes greater in intensity, he says, ask, seek, and knock. But then he sums all of that up. But all of that's in that process of asking. So, we're learning here some things about this. How can they help? Imagine seeking for something which doesn't exist. Everybody, I don't know what you're talking about because I've never seen one. I've never heard of it. Are you sure that it exists? I know unicorns do. I've seen their pictures in the books, right? I just want to find one in person. I want to pet it. And, well, they do exist. But most people, when you talk about unicorns, they're thinking of the horse, right? You know, image with the pointed horn that stands on. Unicorn just means one horn. Other kinds of rhinos that just have one horn. So anyway, see? Well, that wasn't what I was looking for. I was wanting a horse. You see? Okay, well, now you're learning. Maybe it doesn't exist just the way that we, you know, thought that it did or wanted it to do. Or maybe even if it does exist, maybe, you know, we're knocking at the wrong door. I'm kind, I think. I'm pretty generous. Well, I'm a little tight, I know that. But I'm generous if it's really necessary. You know, if you can give me a good reason type of thing for it. But you want $1 million? No, see, that's not going to work. I don't care how generous I am. I don't even have anything close to that. So, yeah, you're going to have to go knock on another door, you see. Intelligent asking means looking into the Word of God, seeing, you know. So we must seek where there is an ability to help. What qualifies them to help me as well? And so we need to ask ourselves that question. Well, what qualifies them, you know, to help? Be sure that you use, you know, this right standard of knowing that, because, you know, we judge by appearances. We judge by looking at others. And sometimes we even judge God, you know, by that. Well, if no one can do that, then God, you know, God couldn't do it either. What if you created value for the person that you're asking a favor from or asking some need that needs to be satisfied? They might be asking, well, yeah, I have it. Yes, I've been known to help people with that exact problem or, you know, that same need or something like that. But you know, why should I help you? So let's look over 1 John chapter 3. Verse 21, we read, beginning, he says, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Sounds a whole lot like what Jesus was just saying there in the sermon, doesn't it? So, if our heart doesn't condemn us, we have boldness toward God. And so whatever we ask, we receive. He says, though, it's not done, is he? He says, there's a reason for that. What's the reason for us getting what God giving us, you know, this that we're asking for, that we want? He says, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. because we keep His commandments and we do the things that are pleasing in His sight. So we've created value for God. We're a child of God, in other words. We're living as God has called upon us to live. We're emulating, you know, the Son of God, His own very Son in doing this. And so we look here again, back here at Matthew chapter 7. And there where we have, ask and it shall be given you. Notice here, let's pick up here. He says, what man is there of you? So now he brings this down on, you know, a human level. He's talking about as far as an illustration of people, but sometimes God's going to work His favors, or God's going to work His will, or God's going to work His gifts through others, even though He's going to introduce God into this as well, into the situation by the Father. But anyway, he says, so what man of you is there if his son asks him for a loaf will give him a stone, or ask a fish will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? All things therefore. Oh, wait a minute. All things therefore. What's therefore? Therefore? Is the therefore because of something He had said previous? Or is it therefore because, therefore, it's just kind of the way the Bible talks, you know? Talks in those therefores. Well, when we're studying the Bible, we begin to understand, well, if there's a therefore there, then we ask, well, what's it there for? And it's usually there for a reason. So they're complementing something that's been said before. So, is there the possibility that the golden rule is a part of the asking, seeking, and knocking? Well, according to the therefore rule that we so often follow, I would have to say yes. It's a good one just to stand alone, but look at it. It would just stand alone, and we do that. We go, you know, well, the golden rule is do unto others, you'd have them do unto you. And so now the next lesson. I think, you know, all of this really goes together. Enter in by the narrow gate. I just tell you quickly, I used to think, and it may still be, but, you know, that's just kind of the broad teaching, you know. The wide gate and the broad, and the, you know, the wide road and the broad gate. That's just the world out there. That's just everything, isn't it? And it could well be. But then he goes right into false prophets. Beware of false prophets. And talking about people who call on His name. And he doesn't. Jesus doesn't answer because He says, you know, I don't know you. Who are you? And they, you know, you work lawlessness. Maybe these things are much more spiritual than what we, you know, think of them to be, because He's actually may be saying here, where are you going to go for your teaching? Where are you going to go for your insight? Where are you going to go for your understanding? To the broad way, false teaching? Those who don't teach. And that could include worldly things, I understand. But he seems to be picturing this as those that are trying to sell themselves as being God's people, God's teachers, wolves you see in sheep's clothing. So maybe the broad gate and the wide way is living outside the parameters of God's will, is what he's trying to say. Living out there in false teaching, no matter what the false teaching is. So, back to the golden rule type of thing. So maybe it fits in there as well, with asking, seeking, and knocking. Well, I tell you what, you go treat somebody badly, some way that you yourself would not ever want to be treated with, and then tomorrow you find out that what you were really needing is what they have. and that generally they would be willing to give it to you, but not after yesterday, the way you treated them. You see, a lot of what God does and how He helps us is through one another. And so treating people right, because someday you may need what God has to give you through them. Pretty good reason to treat people the way you'd want to be treated, isn't it? Of course, better when the Lord said to do so, you know, and such as that. But He has a reason, you see, for it. We're asking intelligently. Ask with congruent belief. Ask believing, truly believing. You know, like the centurion over in Matthew chapter 8, where he came to Jesus and he said here, Lord, my servant lies in the house sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And he said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. Really, you believe that? You believe all Jesus has to do is say the word? He doesn't have to be in the proximity. He doesn't have to be in the room. He doesn't have to be touching. He doesn't have to be anointing with oil. He doesn't have to be praying physically over. He doesn't have to be laying His hand upon them. You telling me you really believe that? He says, yeah. For I also am a man under authority, having under myself soldiers. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And Jesus said, now that's faith. Now that's faith. You know, James talks about there in James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. You know, if you're going to ask for wisdom, don't doubt. Don't be like, you know, this reed out here in the wind. Don't be like the wave, you know, that's in the surge of the wave that's moved, you know, by the wind. He says, ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth shall not receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. So yeah, asking intelligently means asking truly believing. And then finally, ask until. Ask until? Yes, ask until. Until you get it? Well, I don't know. Until you maybe get some kind of answer at least. In fact, we find that all of these are in the present tense in the Greek, which even in the English means similar to it, but especially for, you know, the Greek-speaking audience, when they use something in the present tense, it means, well, as long as we are in the present tense, then that's working, that's going, it's continuing. And so when are we not in the present tense? We're always in the present tense. Future tense, something we're always looking forward to. Past tense, something we're always looking back on. We're always right here. And so the idea, in fact, a lot of translations, newer translations, you know, they do that for us, they help us, they go, keep on asking. Continue seeking. Don't quit knocking. And so, we ask until. Well, we ask until what? Well, as one person said it, God's delays are not God's denials. But not only that. Until, if we do all this intelligently, I think we should be able to come to some conclusion like we were reading. And remember how smart you were back there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8 when you go, yeah, but Paul asked and he didn't get it, did he? You know, remember? We talked about that just a little bit back there. You thought I just brushed it off, didn't you? And no, we're coming back to it now, and here's where we are. And what do we learn there? God said, Paul, I've given you something. I've given you my favor. I've given you my grace. And you yourself have admitted, not a worldly scoundrel, but a spiritual scoundrel he was. You were a blasphemer and a persecutor. And I took it personally. I told you on the road to Damascus, it's me, Saul, that you're persecuting. and you're persecuting these, my children. And yet I saved you, this miserable wretch of a sinner that Paul says, I am the chief of. And so God says, so Paul, I've given you favor, haven't I? I've given you grace. And he says, the grace that I have given you is sufficient. It shall be enough. And Paul, after being caught up into the third heaven, said, there's no way that I'm going to miss that. Yeah, I think I'll just be happy with your grace, O Lord. It is sufficient. But you see, until we ask, we might not know. Until we ask intelligently with the proper demeanor, specifying as best as we can what it is that we are looking for so that we can clarify for ourselves if we really do want it or need it or whatever, and that we go to the right source, that we ask those who really can help, and that we think about, why should they help us? What value have I ever created? And so we create value for them. And we ask in faith, congruent, believing that our actions are congruent with what our statement of faith is. That it's just as we state it to be. And that we keep on asking. In fact, again we return quickly to the Father who had come to Jesus and said, I came to them and they could not. What did he do? He didn't give up there, did he? He then went to the Lord and says, can you? Or she said, can I? You know the event, you know how. But still, you see, he kept pursuing it until he knew that either there's no remedy or I just haven't gotten to the right source for it yet. He kept seeking, he kept knocking until he did find the proper remedy. And it was right there in front of me. It was Jesus, wasn't it? But nonetheless, you see, we can keep on doing it right, doing it intelligently, thinking this thing through, looking into the Word of God, examining, discovering, coming to conclusions, finding ourselves, you know, to be well pleased unto the Lord as we're doing this. He's looking at that and he goes, boy, now that's a daughter I can be proud of. That's a son, you know, that look at them. They're wanting to know how all of this works, how this comes to pass. And then at least we will come to a conclusion of, well, the Lord's been good to me. If nothing else, He saved my miserable hide. And He's done it more than once for me. But He saved my miserable hide. He's called me to be a child of His, a son, a daughter of the Most High King. Yeah, I think I can sufficiently endure life with that. And then, you know what, I'll discover, like we sing, count your many, oh wow, there's been a whole bunch of those, been great blessings, number of them. But until we ask intelligently, until we think this thing through, we might just all write it all off. Well, that doesn't work. That's no good. That's hogwash. Yeah, you can say anything and you can put anything on paper, but until you carry through, see, when we ask intelligently, we find the Lord has carried through. He invites you to come and be a part of all of this that He has put together in His Son, Jesus Christ, and to receive those blessings that are only found in His Son. They're called spiritual blessings, and every one of them can be found in His Son. The good book tells us, the Word of God, Ephesians 1 and 3. And so, if you'd like to be a partaker of that, if you'd like to discover how that your asking might get you the things that God has been holding and promised for you, then begin now on that road by serving Him, by answering His call, by coming unto Him.
Jesus says it's not just one of servitude. It is. It's all of that. But he says, but it's one where I invite you to come because what I give you replaces the weight and the burdens and the cares and you know, the degrading of what's out there in the world and all that you have tried up to this point. But you've got to begin here with answering the call. And so this morning, if you would like to answer the invitation of Jesus Christ, we encourage you to do so as we stand and sing.